cometh in the name of the Lord. We're certainly happy to be gathered this morning. What a great privilege it is, a great honor to come and assemble together. We have the Lord's Supper at this table. Coming in as the new year was being ushered in. This morning, our first Sunday to come and take up our post of duty. So nice to hear the song, Onward Christian Soldiers. Everyone in battle array, armed, focused on the objective. And even to have the saints from Grenada and Tobago here with us, we're certainly happy. Aren't you glad to have them in our midst? Amen. We want to make them feel welcome. When they come, it's a special time for us. Amen. We don't always ask for them to come, but when we do ask for them to come, we believe that it's appropriate, it's a special time, and it's Brother Monty and his family. We're certainly glad to have them, Brother Andy and Brother Aaron and Brother Ken, who we didn't see for quite some time. He's up in the States. We tried to get a hold of him. And I think Timmy Top was on the phone. I just got a glimpse of him last night when he's going to play the music. And we're certainly glad to have him and Maurice and Kalisha and Kenneth and all those who are here, by God's grace, that God give you a wonderful time over this weekend, all the strangers and the visitors. We should be happy to be in God's presence together. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. As we look to the Lord Jesus, you have a special request upon your heart. Bible says, only believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And as we approach the great presence of God with our needs in our hearts, we believe in our heart and we confess that He who said, I will keep you in this hour of temptation. He who is promised, this great Jehovah Jireh, who will keep us by the power of the living God. We know He is faithful to His promise. He said, He shall supply all our needs according to His riches. In glory. His riches are unsearchable today. His glory is eternal. Lord Jesus, with bowed hearts in your presence this morning, considering how we have been blessed and made to be such a privileged people, and that is only because of your bestowed favor and love that you have bestowed upon us. And as we consider who we are to receive this great blessing and to find this great favor, we think, who are we that thou should be so mindful of us, Lord? Surely as Mary, when she was told by the angel, thou art highly favored, she began to sing, my soul hath magnified the Lord, and I rejoice in God my Savior. He has raised up the poor needy from a low estate to such a place of honor. Lord, so we feel that in this age, all the great people of this age, yet, dear God, you come down to simple nobodies like us to reveal this great thing, Lord, and to include us in it. Lord, He included me, as the songwriter says. We pour out our hearts in thanksgiving today, Father. Pour out our hearts in gratitude. Our desire, Lord, is to take this life you've given unto us and put it back in your hands. Surrender it without reservation to you. Having confidence you are more than able to take these old cracked up, marred, broken vessels. Put them on your potter wheel and remold them again, Father. Make them vessels of honor prepared unto every good work. Fit for the master's use, Lord. Knowing that you can truly take them into your great mighty hand and do a work, Lord. That would be of honor and glory to your great mighty name. Bless all that is gathered in your house today, Father. May the family of God many saints of the household of faith here, Father, feel so blessed and relaxed in your presence and comforted and made to feel special as your ministering spirits, Lord, would minister unto them today who are the heirs of salvation. Let their heart be filled with the riches of your grace. Whatever they are lacking and whatever request they hold in their hearts, looking unto you, the all-sufficient one, the all-bountiful one. Hallelujah. Who says, ask that our joys may be full. May you give to them full, pressed down and running over today. Take the few words you put upon the heart of your servant. Send it forth in a way that it could edify your children, broaden the scope, give them deeper insight as to the hour and the unfolding of the mysteries of prophecy spoken for this hour, the scripture foreseeing these times, and the Spirit speaking expressly, Lord, what you will do. Now may the Spirit of truth who spoke these things bring it to life and apply to us, and may we draw strength and faith. And Lord God, may be quickened by His Spirit and know how to take the word and apply it and work with it, dear God, to see the prophesied results that it was to bring forth in our lives, come forth to show forth your victory, to give witness and testimony. Lord, that your name will be glorified and be admired in all us who believe in this hour. Grant it, Father, even the strangers and the visitors, take them under your consideration. Whatever they have need of, Father. Oh God, especially those that don't know you and have not received you as Lord and Savior, reach down your hand today. You brought us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock to stay. You are still the same. You can still do that for every hungry heart today, Father. So may you grant it, we pray. We love you and appreciate you, Lord. We ask you remember those who are going to be here with us today, and even in Tobago and Grenada, dear God. You bless these in such a way that they will take back a blessing to them, Father. And dear God, even all your children around the world in this great hour, oh God has been speaking to us. You are our refuge. You are our strength. Lord, in this time of trouble, you will keep us, oh God, by the power of God. And Lord, may these things that you have spoken become so much more real, and may, as the river flow today, even the streams of that river, Lord, make glad the city of God today. Grant it, Father, let your light and your glory shine in every heart. We will not fail to praise and magnify you in the precious almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. Remember the little children on the hill, or going to Sunday school, have a little special time today. Oh God, remember the lambs of God, Father. Paul, such a blessing. And Lord God, may you grant great grace and strength, and fresh inspiration, great encouragement for the teachers, Father, who so faithfully have stood at the post of duty and carried out, Lord, a service for you and for the children with such responsibility and commitment. May you bless them and supply their every need. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, richly bless you. We'd like to invite your attention to the book of 2 Kings this morning. Strained and tired, and maybe you don't have enough strength to preach the kind of message, but I just want to wait upon him, and you pray for me that you give me some strength and just have his way among us. I will talk to my heart. Second Kings chapter 6. We read from verse 24. Everyone feeling happy? Yeah. Feeling fine in the house of God today? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. May God, as He promised to do, take us higher and higher. May we get some of that this morning that will just set our wings in the current of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after this, that is the previous account that was given about the blinding of the Syrians, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. Could you imagine that? Wonder what the leg would have been sold for. Or the hind flank or something. The ribs. The ass's head is sold for 80 pieces of silver. You talk about inflation. It's given us an idea of the stock market here. It's what it's really talking about here. What when economic depression hit a land and a siege cuts off everything from the nation. See, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Who is going to go and buy dove dung for 5 pieces of silver? That's the fourth part of it. A whole part is 20 pieces of silver. Some dove droppings. You talk about famine. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king!" And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, how shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" So even the state storehouses was in a mess. See? National flour mills, all these places. That was the floor, the threshing floor, where they had all the grain stored up, like our flour mills and them big silos you see there, packed up with things that all them rice. Maybe they had an NMF scandal also there too. Dog rice and all kind of stuff. You talk about things in the economy. And that's true, the whole wine press was in chaos. And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him." They didn't even have 5 pieces of silver for some dove dung. Neither did they even have a little change for her ass head or part of her ass head. So they only had one source of survival, and they look at the children. They say, "Well, they're small. They won't know much. They'll die, and they won't know what's going on." And these two women, these two neighbors, get together and make a truce, make a pact. "You eat my son today, just tomorrow." You can imagine the whole family going to eat one child. He's going to be one day's meal. And they've got to eat the next one the next day. They had already resorted to cannibalism. Conscience was gone. Hope you get in the picture. Human beings in the greatest nation reduced to such a state, a mind. Social life, morals broken down. Remember, the scripture is not a playbook. It's a prophetic book sealed with 7 seals that have been opened in this day to reveal Jesus Christ. "So he boiled my son and ate him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hidden her son. And it came to pass," see, she deceived the woman. "She said, I ain't getting up no my son, I'm hungry. I pressure you, let me eat your son first." See? "And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he tore his clothes and he passed by upon the wall." He was already in a bad state. And then to see what the people had reduced to, for, and that was his kingdom. That was his subjects in his kingdom. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath upon his flesh. And the Bible tells you, this man had sackcloth. You know water more than flour. Because he was an evil man. That was Jezebel's son. Then he said, God do so to him, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand upon him this day. Now watch how political power aggravated looking for a scapegoat. Amen. You have the Syrians outside there, go and fight them. Yes. If you want to flex your muscles and vent your anger. But they're going to turn it upon the elect who is anointed with the robe. Amen. Who is walking in the word of the prophet that went off the scene. But Elisha sat in his house and his elders sat with him. I like that. The king on the wall in sackcloth. These two people eating the baby. The nation in a mess. The politicians in a mess. But Elisha sat in the house with his elders. I like that. Come and settle. The others are all flour and oil and all kind of provision. They sat in the presence of God. Amen. They had access. Lord, their heart was turned back to the faith of the fathers. Elijah had repaired the altar at the evening sacrifice. Glory! And the king sent a man from before him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see you now, this son of a murderer had sent to take away mine head? Even before they came, he knew it. He knew they're going to come for him. He was told that by Elijah. A time will come you can't preach. They're going to bring a persecution upon you. You'll be the persecuted, hunted down church. He knows that. Amen. So he knows how the politician's going to behave and what they're going to do. He's a channel of communication. He's linked up to omniscience. The bride has the mind of Christ. The intelligence has come down. Look at it here. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door. And hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master feet behind him? You know that the messenger is a forerunner. See? He comes, but the ones who come to come in the aggression, that murderer son, they murdered Naboth and took his vineyard. See? And while he had talked with them, behold, a messenger came down to him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Holy Scriptures here, and may you have a seat. May the Lord bless you in his word. Let's continue to read. Let me read back verse 33. And while he had talked with them, behold, a messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now you have to catch the scene here. Just can't just read, follow the reading without catching. In Samaria had a famine. That famine became so severe until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. And dove's dung was sold for 5 pieces of silver. And he's standing up there and that's going on, and the people resorted to cannibalism because there's nothing left to eat. They eat up every donkey, every horse, they eat up everything. The national storehouses was empty. The barn, he says, we're going to get from the wine press. We're going to get from the threshing floor. At the end of the harvest, they say, gather in the corn you have to bring in into the storehouse of the nation. That was the national economy. They had the state lands. They had the state farmers like we have there in the country. They have big orange estate. They have sugarcane plantations, all these things.
they have the bigger storehouses. They have the national flour mills. They have all these things like we have today. They have it there. Every society, you have to take care of the bread for your people. They have central market. They have all these things. So he's saying, look at this tattooing woman. If God don't help me, what can I do? I God. See? Elijah had brought some judgments in that land too. When he was on the land. And this was the days after his message. And we see the elect who had believed his message. Because Elisha was called under Elijah's message. It's a type of Christ and the church. A type of this last day messenger and the bride. There are many others around. But this bride was anointed with the robe. There are three anointings that come out of his message. Anoint Hazael, anoint this one. Jehu, and anoint Elisha in your stead. Glory! That bind to the members of the bride will finish the work. And here, the hour of temptation that come upon everything. But God said, I'll keep you in that hour. When there's a pressure, and we see it upon the land, but notice, it wasn't a hot war. Say nothing about fighting, they didn't attack the city. They just besieged the city until an ass head or so much. It was an organized economic war with the intent to starve the nation, bring inflation, recession, unemployment, devaluation, everything to break the economy of the nation. And that's why it reveals to us the whole miracle, the whole thing here is around the economics. And that's why the Spirit is giving us the economic picture. And the people under economic squeeze, the condition that they are pressured into, and the effect it is taking upon them. But these people rejected the prophet message. You getting that? So let's finish reading. Just try to see. Open it to make it more interesting to you so you can understand what you're reading. Then Elisha said, hear you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Now how could a man say, thus saith the Lord, except the Lord had not said thus? He's now the mouthpiece. He's now speaking by inspiration. He's now giving for the utterance from the Spirit. Tomorrow, about this time, he's fixing his prophecy according to a certain period of time. He's not just prophesying, he's fixing the prophecy according to a certain period of time. By this time tomorrow. Remember years ago, 1980, back there, in San Fernando Hospital, when that boy was given up to die, and they isolated him, and he was yellow all over, and he's poisoned. And the Holy Spirit walked in the room. And right there, a being, a supernatural being was hanging over the bed. And I said, in 7 days' time, you'll walk out of here. And his uncle stood there saying, what's the matter with this man? This man put his whole ministry upon that thing. He said, he counted the days on the 7th day the boy walked out of that place. As well as ever. His wife was there, was healed out of a hemorrhage. And right in the next word, right after that, God healed Sister Erica's brother totally from his head to his feet. He was a skin infection all over in a mess inside here. In San Fernando Hospital there, he spoke the word. Yeah, he's fixing that by inspiration. That's what the Lord is fixing that. Shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel? And to measure barley for a shekel. Where? In Egypt? In China? In the very gate of Samaria. In the very place where it have no food in the national storehouses. In the very place where ass head, worthless, useless goods have become expensive commodities because of the inflation. Inflation because of the merchants who control the stock market, take all these worthless goods and cause it to be inflated and become expensive commodities when in normal time nobody will even buy that thing. Bible is not plain here. It tells even dove dung. It takes the Holy Spirit, picks out two of the most useless things and fix a price to it to tell you if worthless, no good goods like that could be cost so much money. Why, what was causing it? Another power had disrupted this economy. They had besieged it. They cut off the communication. They cut off the trade. They disrupted the goods and the services. They disrupted the communication with outside nations. And nobody could move in and out of that region. Everything came to a standstill. It was an organized economic war. Wasn't a hot war. Was an economic war. But the result of it was to destabilize the economy of the nation. To bring inflation up. Are you catching the picture? The Bible is not the book your granny used to read. After the seven seals opened, it's a mystery of prophecy revealing things between the going of Elijah and the destruction of the Jezebel system. In the hour when famine, depression, and war has moved in the earth as a chastisement upon the people who rejected the message of Elijah. And it's the Holy Spirit continuing working in the elect whose heart was turned back by Elijah's message. That's the picture. What a picture. What an interesting picture. If you snap that picture, let's develop that picture a little bit now. Let's look at the details in that picture. Because it's a mystery of prophecy. And by inspiration, thus said the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall I measure fine flour. Fine flour. Not a measure of flour. A measure of fine flour. That was the sifted flour. That was the refined flour. The best kind would be for a shekel. Two measures of barley would be for a shekel. You know the difference between a shekel and 50 pieces of silver? You know my nourishment fine flour can give it an ass head? Now, he was saying, thus said the Lord. What is being introduced to us? You are a believer, think. Why did the Holy Spirit take this story and make it part of the Bible and fit it between the going of Elijah and the destruction of that Jezebel system? When there's economic depression in the land. When an economic squeeze has gripped the nation. Who controls the economy? You think it's wrong? They only have permitted control. Control what God allowed them to control. God ruling the affairs of all men. How many knows that? God will get all things after the counsel of his own will. All things were for his own good pleasure. The devil ain't pulling nothing over God. It was in the midst of his depression. Here comes the anointed bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here's the living bride wrapped in the robe. But thus said the Lord, I'll keep still. We see a bride, but thus said the Lord. We see a bride with access to God. And it's a prophecy that don't have to do with somebody getting healed. It's a prophecy that don't have to do with the weather going to change. It's a prophecy that has to do with the economy. The state of the economy. Does the Bible prophesy about the economy in these times? Oh my friends. Think with me and think deep. Don't be lazy in your mind here. Trying to show you. The scripture is not some little plaything. It's the mind of God. The thoughts of God. It's hid in the word. The hour that we are living in. And what you will do, the elect. Every experience of the elect is foretold in the Bible. I'm just picking up a stage of the elect experience, fixing it in a period of time. Because Elijah was off the scene already. What did he come and do? He repaired the altar, he didn't sacrifice. He turned the heart of the children back to the fathers. He only got a little remnant. That Jezebel system had swallowed up the whole land. Here was that Jezebel system in control, and we are seeing the conditions upon the nation controlled by Jezebel. These people who had eaten one another's children were those who rejected Elijah's message. They had belonged to that system. Zedekiah and his 400 prophets had deceived them. Because they refused the voice of Elijah. They didn't have the love for the truth. They rather believed the lie that Zedekiah told when that evil spirit was in his mouth and coming to the mouth with 400 false prophets. He was the chief prophet, false prophet singular. They were false prophets plural. Is that right? Revelation 16, 13, the beast, the false prophet. Is that right? The dragon, he's called. Antichrist, false prophet, beast, three stages of him. Singular. Three unclean spirits like frogs come out of his mouth. Deceiving the kings of the earth. Like that evil spirit, that lying spirit come out of the mouth of Zedekiah to deceive the kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, to take them into their battle. Is that right? It was about economics. The Syrians had conquered the land and was feeding the children upon that food. And they wanted to get it back because their economy was in a mess. How many knows that? Are we preaching the message? Talking about the message now. That's all the ideas and fabrications. Listen. Then, while all this is happening, he prophesies the state of the economy tomorrow about this time. Could you imagine the faith it takes to say that? Could you imagine the faith, the technical? It had nothing to eat inside the city. Everything with juice. People eating one of their children. The king in sackcloth and ashes on the wall. He's trying to take pressure off himself because people looking to him to do something. Like President Clinton. Wait, what did you think he do? He's had a bomb Iraq. Shift attention from himself. Political maneuvers to get out from the pressure. Political strategy to manipulate a public who is looking for leadership, who is looking for help from the system. So he decided, I'm going to launch a campaign. I'm going to hunt out all these little small unorganized church. You say, Elijah, the son of Shaphat, your head coming off today. And they begin to vent their anger. What does it tell you? Do you know the only woman that's named in the entire book of Revelation is Jezebel? You know that? She had to be important. That woman Jezebel. From the Old Testament. Because it speaks of a system. Who's going to control the world in the last days? Who will kill out the true prophets of God? Who will be drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs? Because the book of Revelation reveals such a system. Which anointed servant came up against that system? in the Old Testament? Elijah. Is that right? And God sent the spirit of Elijah in these last days. He spoke Jezebel religion. Hybrid religion. Why am I against organized religion? Why are we not a denomination? Amen. Begin to show to us the five identifications of the true church of the living God. Begin to show to us the restoration of the bright tree. Not organized religion, not man-made religion, but the true church of the living God, a branch from the root, apostolic faith going to come back in the last days, because Elijah will turn the heart of the church back to the faith of the fathers at the evening sacrifice. Did Elijah do it in the Old Testament? But only a little group. 7,000 who didn't bow down their knees to that Jezebel system. Did God show Elijah a preview? Did he show him in the preview of the bride? Exactly right. So you realize we're not talking about church and Third Exodus Assembly and we're trying to control people and not that nonsense. In the word of God for this hour being fulfilled, being identified, confirmed by the Holy Spirit. We are walking an evening life in a prophetic vision of the unfolding of the mysteries of God. Because we are part of the elected, just like them was in that day. They saw Elijah and they stood with him. We saw Elijah and we have taken our stand with him. We didn't want to stay at Bethel. We didn't want to stay at Jericho. But we crossed Jordan. We wanted the robe. We didn't want a blessing from Elijah. We wanted the robe. The same spirit. That wasn't Elijah. We don't want a picture. We don't want a pillow. He's sleeping in the hospital. We don't want an eagle like he have on his door. We want the spirit that made him an authority over every devil. That made him stay with the word. Hallelujah. Desire the same thing this morning. Know what you're pulling for. Pull for church, don't pull for some position, pull for the Holy Ghost, pull for the Word, pull for the revival that God promised in this hour. God will bring a change, give you power to overcome, because that's what He wants to release from the message of the hour, not politics. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel good. I know that's nothing but the truth. People can pile the sticks and the stones. That's still the truth. Can't get away from that. No man can break that. And when a believer see that, see it in the word, know who's saying that, where that is coming from, and see their partner, nothing can move them either. They're tied to a tight post. They'll go through the darkest trials, the greatest persecution, and they'll come out like gold refined in the fire. Hallelujah. Because it's not some man-made idea. It's the word for your time. Revealing the Bible in shadow and type, showing the plan for the age, showing what is happening from the going of the prophet down to this hour. Showing us present tense, the things around us. Because I am your refuge. Elisha was in the refuge. Elisha was in the refuge. He was being kept by the power of God. He was looking for somebody child to eat. He was on the wall with the king. He was now there trying to stone down the Syrians. He was kept because God was keeping him. Jehovah Jireh was keeping him. He wasn't wrestling against flesh and blood. He was wrestling against principality and powers. And every move they make, he had them measured. Is the army not coming? Is not his master behind him? Now is the time for me to speak. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow, about this time. Watch the economy change. You talk about economic miracles in a time of economic squeeze. You talk about divine provision in an hour of famine. You say you're anointed with the same spirit of Elijah. You say the spirit of Elijah dwelt west on Elisha. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. You've been elected, called, anointed, and placed under this message by a vindicated prophet. The Holy Ghost, come back. Because God telling me that you are choose of the man, like he told Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. He said, go down to Abel Meloha. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You'll find a man plowing, breaking the fallow ground. They might say preaching hard, but he busts up them ground. He's going to put seed in that dirt. Amen. Glory be to God in the house. Glory. When you're waving over him, but he ain't telling mommy and daddy and auntie and politics what this man did. He's going to slay the oxen, burn the plow, and going to pour water on the hands of Elijah and get hungry for the same spirit that Elijah have. So when we come to times like this, in an economic depression, it's a man standing here who can hear from God. It's a man who had access. Because you know when the prophet pitch here, they ain't fool around with people, but they follow the word close. That man who tried to bring a kingdom for their reputation, hold people in bondage, manipulate and control them. Not that! Glory be to God in the house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I've got to be in a service like this in January the 2nd in the year 2000. Hallelujah. Oh, and the world is full of problems. When it's again falling apart, I can recognize the presence of God, the mighty God being unveiled, taking the seals of himself, saying, he's the I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Let the streams, let the river in the city of God make you glad this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm trying to read my scriptures. I can't even finish my scripture reading. Thank God at least I had you on your seat. Amen. You're going to be standing all now because I can't finish reading the scripture at all. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For this is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Because the Father good pleasure to reveal the mysteries and give them the kingdom. But their subjects will reign with him. And that's what the seal was for. To gather the redeemed subjects. To sit with him in his own throne. Them who are stones that build up this house of David. Builds up the Lord's house. This Lion of Judah is here to break every chain this morning. Hallelujah! Master every circumstance. This roaring word. Hallelujah! Man stood there in the midst of economic depression, seeing man eating out a garbage can, seeing people, the plate empty, seeing little children malnutrition, their belly form out big, seeing children dying in the street. You can't see a stray dog or a stray cat. That time was when the siege now start. But even ass head. Hallelujah! Man was trying to steal one another ass because the ass head was so high. Amen. When a man pass and he sees a man donkey, the tap there, nobody around it. They say, here, the fellas. A man said, can't touch that, he's stealing. He said, the Lord said, Lucifer, let him go. Amen. Said, the Lord have need of him. He said, not just 80 pieces of silver. Think if you only get it for the head. But we can live out this thing here. We can store up until. Amen. But are we going to lash out the Syrians and them who try to shut the sink? No, sir. Stood up there with the intelligence of God. He understood his position.
he could rely upon what God made him. Under the message of that prophet, it was revealed to him what God made him. He understood his positioning. Amen. But when some of the synagogue of Satan had to come over and bow and say, surely the spirit of Elijah, that was on Elijah. This is the church. This is the message. This is the spirit of that was in the prophet. This is the spirit that was in Branham Tabernacle. That's the same spirit here. That's the same word. That's the same continuity. That's the same God. But another spring, this man is digging back the wells of our father Abraham. Them Philistines might try to stop it up, bring their own ideas, start their own cliques, start their own man-made movement, get people to drink and get sick from their own cistern. But this is digging back the same wells. Hallelujah! Glory be to God! My title is Living in the Midst of the Economic Siege. Show you how to live in the midst of the economic siege. Sit in your house with the elders. Get them in an elders meeting or sometime. Hallelujah. Point out to them the modern events. Let me clear the vindicated prophecy. Unfold the great symphony. Let them see what junction of time is not a bunch of rattling noise. Just let them understand the changing of the beat. Amen. Glory. And but they're waiting. He's waiting for the persecution to rise. And under the economic pressures, the tensions begin to build. And Satan begin to move through the political system and direct all the hate and the political might and power to the elect who have believed Elijah's message. Like it's telling them that changed the situation in the country. But people do things, make them divert attention to show like they're doing something. To say, okay, this is Operation Weed Eater. These bunch of little cults and these weeds. Yeah. See, the cult is always called the other people the cult. And the weeds is always call the wheat the weeds and call itself the tears. See? That's why she sit there like a queen and say, I'm no widow, like if she's the real true church. Yet drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs, and then have a cup that she drunk in the whole world with her fornication and blind them to believe all her creed and dogma and all her false teaching. She set up herself as a prophetess and feed them things, sacrifice to idols, make big leaders and kings and monarchs and presidents come and bow and kiss that ring in the Vatican. Take that little old staff there and that old pious look, and all them special photographers know how to cultivate the image and develop, refine the image and make it look so pious, and then use their own media to propagate the image and put it on CNN and send it around the world like this is the shepherd of the flock of God on planet Earth. This is the man who's carrying the burden of the world. And that's the false prophet. That's the serpent. And they obliterate the name of the true prophet who had seven thunders coming out of his mouth. Amen. To take us back to the faith of the fathers, back to the Garden of Eden, back to the faith civilization. And they put up this one with three unclean spirits coming out of his mouth like frogs to take us back to Nicaea and enslave us. But we have been made free, and who the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. We know that's the son of a murderer. That's the son of a murderer. Who wants to come for us? She was doing her last paint job. Oh, brother. I just love the Bible. Because this message makes me love the Bible. And when I found the Bible with Jesus, I love it more. When I read the thoughts of God, the eternal thoughts that could never fail, that became an abiding place. And while I'm in there, but I have power over every situation. Verse 2. What a prophecy. And this political delegation that came with all the search warrant and all the powers of arrest
and reading the man's rights. And getting ready, have the black Maria there. Now they have amalgamated, contracted. They escort the prisoners and everything else. And they're heading on to the maximum security, getting ready to go to the maximum security prison. In the midst of that delegation, they stand up and they begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. Catch this verse here, a powerful verse. Then a Lord, he named the man because he wanted to give us more the character of the man, so we see that same kind of spirits in people today. Amen. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned. Yes. To the rest of the account, this man is called the Lord on whose hand the king leaned. I like that. Amen. When the Bible gives you a name, it sticks with you. Instead of calling you Frank, he said the Lord on whose hand the king leaned. Man was so close to the seat of power. Man was propping up the king. The king could lean on this man, like John is leaning on Jesus' bosom. King is leaning on this man. See? And sometimes a little power does get to people's head. What's something here? Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Whew. You don't have faith to stand in a man's shoes, get out of the way. Amen. Don't stand here and be a stumbling block.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He says, if God had to make a window in heaven, what you saying is even foolish. Not even window in heaven and God raining down food. By this time tomorrow, God himself can't make enough food to change the economy in this city. Why are you a fanatical one? Get next day, man. See? You know why? He had a degree in economics. He went to win a university in the States. And he had a paper. And he applied for the big job. And they read the man's resume. And Elijah's going to shop at the plowman. No wonder all you unqualified ignoramuses want to get in the pulpit and pray, man of God, where your degree? You think about a degree self. You know Hebrew or Greek self. Look, let me tell you who I am. I have a degree in political science. I have a master in economics. Yeah, and the nation a mess. You got a degree. And this man standing here making people better sit in peace. In his house. Amen. And people starving, eating one of their children, but they're under the word, and the word is keeping them, because man opened up a channel to give people access and anchor the soul, that in the most tight times, they can behave themselves wisely in all the ways. But when man think they're in power, and you going down today, because the van waiting for you, and we come here to talk with you and listen to your idea of economics. If we ask you for your opinion about the economy tomorrow. See? If you get anybody that talks about economics, I'm the man here. I have the degree. I'm the minister of economics. Woo! Mad! And he's talking because the leader on the king leader on him. Say, keep quiet, king. I will deal with this piece of trash. See? I'll deal with this piece of trash. So he's come up to his big self. And he decided to get sarcastic. He decided to get arrogant. Is the Lord make window in heaven? See? Where the economy coming from? The Syrians have the place back around. God can do anything? God hand tie. God had a good while to move before people started eating one of their children. And God didn't move. So we expect where God is. Even we bail priests after invocation, they can't get a response. You will get a response? Jezebel was present at the Vatican Council too. And we still can come to a decision. You, with that old mantle, wrap up in? Yeah, that old mantle that he wrapped up in. Oh, brother! The man didn't hear, thus
saith the Lord. But the theology had his mind so blind, he couldn't even, he forget what that meant. Because in them churches, didn't even have that. And he gets sarcastic. Will the Lord make window in heaven? And hear the word coming back. To his sarcasm. Hear the word coming back to put a curse and a judgment upon him. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat of it. It will be here tomorrow, just like I say. He said, you will see it, and you won't be able to even eat from it. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. Now, a new introduction into the narrative. The Holy Spirit want to bring a change of beat here to begin to show now the prophecy has gone forth. Now watch God bring the prophecy to pass by this time tomorrow. Oh my, I love God. I love God's word. You talk about music. Brother Beethoven and them is getting in a realm and write a piece of music. Well, the writer of 2 Kings here, he got somewhere. And when he penned this thing out, brother, every jot and tittle and was inspired. And after the prophecy come forth and the reaction to the prophecy and the judgment because of disrespect and irreverence to an anointed man with a robe saying, thus saith the Lord. And a man challenging the intelligence of God with his degree. And they are cursing him. Next thing, God, from a man who the king was leaning on, becoming the four lepers. Deadly robe, walking about in the chiefest places in the palace in the city. We've seen men who can't even go in the city. Anybody come out about unclean, unclean, unclean. They had to stay out of the city as a leper. God coming down now. He's going to take things that are foolish and bring to nothing the wisdom of the mighty. He's going to perform a paradox. No flesh but glory in his presence. He'll shut every critic mouth. He's God. Feel the Holy Spirit saying that this morning. Glory. The Jews believed that was Gehazi and the three sons. Because remember in 2 Kings 5, Elijah said, you covetous. It's not a time for vineyard. It's not a time for raiment. It's not a time for hoarding and coveting. He said, the leprosy of Naaman will cleave to you and your seed. In chapter 6, in chapter 7 here, we see four leprous men. In chapter 8, Gehazi is in the presence of the king again. Talking about the Shunammite woman testifying to the king. What's something, the drama? I'll show something here, how that makes a lot of sense. Because in chapter 8, he's still called the servant of the prophet. He's still instrumental. His sin was covetousness, his sin was hoarding. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die?
Amen.
You talk about desperation. Amen. You talk about God setting in desperation. Hope you bear with me as a reading. I think it's a reading service this morning. I didn't come to read, but Holy Spirit said read. See? They sit down there. Four leprous men. Put yourself in the place. Unclean. Sin. A type of sin. Can't even be in the city. Excommunicated, cut off. Can't come in except a priest examine them. Read Leviticus 14 and 15 about a leper. Read about Jesus when he meet them, they couldn't go in the city. After he cleaned the gold, I went and showed himself to the priest and the leprosy on them. But by faith, believing in why those going, those cleansed. Because they couldn't go in the city to the leprosy. Because the priest had to click, had to examine even the hair little white.
I just sending the skin breaking back out 7 days again. I'll see you next 7 days. People leprosy like to be in the city. They like to come in every day. They like quarantine. Sometimes God has to quarantine people. Sometimes people like to be in everything. You ought to be put aside and quarantined because otherwise they'll bring you, you think, and contaminate other people with it. God, you got to make sure you get delivered first. See, the economy of God is set up a certain way. Watch. They say, why should we be here until we die? No food? No good shelter? They can't get in the city? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. You talk about a case of hopelessness. You're done sick, unclean, and your economic situation destitute. A whole case of hopelessness. You talk about frustration? Brother, you can imagine how much the insane asylum had the done crack up after a few days. And these four chaps here, when they realize the situation, they're under the pressure. Now the Bible chose out these characters. The Lord on whose hand the king leaned. The king, the two women who eat, the four lepers, the Syrians, Ben-Hadad and the bunch, who stay there until they bring that kind of inflation. Until they get them eating one another. So you can't say we touch him, or we do nothing. We only stay here long enough to tell all the kind of people all you is. So all your folly could manifest, all this temple, all you want to go in and worship God and different things. Look the potential you have to run in one another house and eat up one of their children. Pressure, economic pressure, bringing out these many people. Up till now, we ain't seen no sign of repentance, no prayer, no nothing, you know. Because the same man who got in sackcloth, he coming to kill the righteous. And he tell the woman, God, let God help you. And the man, he leaning on saying, so out the window, he got up in the window, that thing still can happen. Says pretense. Religious hypocrisy. No, I want you to catch the picture. The Bible's in the last days, there'll be truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that do good. It gone? Don't have the love for the truth. The conscience here with a hot iron. Have itching ears. Reject the truth. Depart from the faith. When is that? In the days after Elijah. Because apostasy takes place when they reject the truth. They didn't have the zeal to repent when the last day message come. Who is deforming their hideous condition that become part of our atomic age? Those in that Jezebel system. That fourth beast was doing what? Death was being followed by who? Hell. Hell was personified in the church members of Protestants and Catholics. Read your fourth seal. He gathered them from all over the earth. How? In the ecumenical move. This is the picture. Over there, it's like statistics. Tell the incontinent. You see them incontinent here? Truth breakers. You see there? Fierce. You see there? Despise of the not do good. You see there? Who's what happened to? The people who reject Elijah message as possible. What religion there was in? Jezebel system. You seen the picture? What was the present problem? Economics. And what is going to change the world? You can't buy or sell.
a power will control the world's wealth. Nation will be shattered. That is to be a mark of the beast. Is that right? I think that is a very interesting picture. I think it's a very plain picture. I think it's a very seasonal picture. But look at a little story, eh? Now you realize it's not a little Old Testament story. It's mysteries of prophecy sealed up in shadows and types. It's the hidden secrets of redemption sealed in the book. Except them thunders out of the voice, you can read it. Verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. But therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians, unto the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die. This is just a little narrative here concerning the four lepers and the conclusions and their deliberations. In other words, the Holy Spirit carry you into the mind of how they were assessing this situation as it related to them. Wouldn't you like to know what certain sections in the society, how they read in the picture, where they fit into the present scenario, what they're doing? What is the Bible doing? You show Elijah with his group. He says that political power is really coming for just now. You know? He said, as a matter of fact, they're on the way already. He said, but I have a prophecy here to make about the economy. And I think this is the time to make it just as they're coming. And he rises up to make it. Then we see the social condition. These women represented the society. Then we see the sale, the market, the goods that people were spending their hoarded up wealth in bank accounts on. Worthless goods. For high price. Because somebody was manipulating the stock exchange and bringing all kind of worthless goods and inflating the price of them goods. And that was doing what? Bringing the people to poverty. Because normally a man would pay, he would get free, but he buy the donkey leg, they throw in the head. Now he's paying 80 pieces of silver for the head as a special commodity. And dove dung. Not the dove, not the dove leg, you know. Not the dove wing. Not the dove breast. The dove dung. Amen. Well, dove is a clean bird, you know. It has no gall, boy. Dove is feed on seed. So even the dung good. Dove type God, boy. Remember the priest used dove. Turtle dove in the temple cleanse people and think every part of that dove good. See? And people's paying money for it. Because either you eat that or you eat sand. Had no more grass. It gets so far, there is a cannibalism. You know how much moral laws you have to break in yourself to start to eat somebody? Where you have to kill them, they're alive, and you have to make them food? You find them dead, you know. They're alive. You have to kill them. Because you say, we eat my son today, and eat your son tomorrow. And she hide the son. Scheme. It's so what? Scheme to fill the belly. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat. The control of the appetites. Remember the Bible tell you when Esau sold the birthright for a Muslim, he's coming hungry? Hunger does make a man do a lot of things. Don't read the Bible like it's a newspaper. Think! You have the Holy Spirit, it'll carry your mind and your soul into places you'll understand how an economic seizure is laid upon a nation. An organized war. They wasn't attacking them. No soldiers were scaling the wall. They were just shooting out and trying to burn them down. No man with battering ram was trying to bust through the gate. Nobody trying to take prisoners. What was the plan? Economic war. Sanctions. Amen. Control the nation. Cut them off. Amen. Isolate them. The plan was to isolate the nation from every other nation. Then what they had started to be depleted. Then they couldn't take care of their own economy and their own society. Because
Nothing from outside can come in because it's cut off. No communication. Communication system disrupted. Trade and commerce disrupted. Transport disrupted. Nobody from the outside region can come in. Nobody from the inside can go to the outside regions. System come to a standstill. A man sit down with his army, the invading forces, know how to manipulate the nation, how to exploit the conditions. If we cut off certain sources and routes and supplies detrimental to their existence, what kind of condition we could cause? You think it's a good, nice world going on here today and things just happening because in like unforeseen circumstances, the world getting bad? Or you think nations is isolate nations and control them and create havoc and instability and then come in as the ones to solve the problem when they are the very ones who create the problem? You think nations is how to lend money and put people into debt and then come and freeze the goods and make it scarce and then you can't repay your debt? And then they come to own what you have. And you become their cheap labor. The Bible says the rich swallow up the poor and the needy. And they falsify the balances by deceit. And they make the ephah small and the shekel great. What kind of language is that? The ephah, the measure of the stock. That's the stock market, that's the stock exchange. And the shackle, that's your financial system. And so the borrower does become slave to the lender. Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says a man with a bag of deceitful weights and measures. Say, oil went up and come down. Always read it, went up and come down. Oil, there's shortage. And now the Arabs and them said it's an oil embargo. And nobody knows who is doing what and what is causing what. But all we know is that now we are putting taxes. We're going to read the budget. They say, well, due to international problems and the shipping system, and even though we're drilling it, we can't send it out because of certain problems. We have to charge more for this. So gasoline is going to go up. And this is going to go up over here. And these other related goods are going to go up. And other people know. And people just go right there. But in the scripture, in very little simple things, the Holy Spirit does uncover and unfold and break that down so you can see the reality, because God put it there as a prophecy for the last days between the days of Elijah and the destruction of the Jezebel system. When the time is characterized by war, famine, and depression, when the economy is not stable, it is constantly fluctuating. So the dollar went up, so the dollar went down. Now the mark is strong. Now the mark get weak. Now the euro dollar come up. Now the US dollar, the yen, you know, fall. You get what I'm saying? But inside of the air, as the pressure rises in monks, there's an elected, called, trained, anointed. The whole mystery for them was to keep their eyes on Elijah. Because Elijah was the star for the age. And Elisha was like a wise man who had to follow his star. And when he followed his star, it brought him into a robe and a double portion of the spirit. Because there was a mystery in that star. And in that star, the mystery of how to survive in this hour was revealed to us. Hallelujah. That is pretty deep. Glory. You get that? What do you understand about the third Paul? What was it for? To identify its presence among you, so you know how to stand. So when the time comes, it will be used. In him, God was for showing us equipment. Weapons being developed for certain type of conditions, and we'll have the conditions to use those weapons. Don't use it yet. That's for when they come. Get the sword, get some swords and keep them.
keep them sword sharp. Just keep that sword sharp on the rock. It'll come out of your mouth one day. Amen. Glory, that Revelation 19, he slew them with the sword that goes out of his mouth. When they come to kill, when they come in violence, when the beasts and all his armies come, when all them nations come against Israel and all them denominations come against the bride, when a natural Armageddon is only a reflection of a spiritual Armageddon here, because their seven trumpets is our seven sealer. All denominations will come to bring a persecution, like all nations come to bring a persecution on them. Then Michael will stand for them there. Then he'll stand for us here. The archangel. But you have a voice on the earth. His bride will be the final voice. She'll have, thus saith the Lord, in that economic squeeze. When the people are deformed in that hideous condition, when that hour of temptation come upon the whole world, but they'll be kept in that hour because they kept the word of his patience. And these who rejected that word because they have their love for the truth, they're under the chastisement. Because they reject the message that had transforming power, they're going to change them and wash them from that denominational filth and filter the thinking. But they refused that for the creeds and dogmas because they had love for the lie. Come out of Zedekiah's mouth, out of Jezebel teaching that false prophetess, and the rejected and vindicated prophet who have thus said the Lord. Amen. I think that's clear as clear can be. Then, my brothers, my sisters, if we are here in this hour, we are walking in this truth. It has been foretold in the message, it's been placed here to you in the Bible. We are looking around and seeing the conditions in the making that will get worse and worse and worse. It'll get so dark. It'll make that little sister cry. It'll take a big brother to say, fear not, little sister. I got a hold of him right here. And his hand is on. I have a hold of one hand and his other hand is on the switch. He'll flip that switch anytime. He'll scatter this darkness like nothing. Remember, honey, he's the chief engineer. He's not just some little mechanic. He's the man who designed the thing. Hallelujah! That's the one that's here. I feel that's him saying that. Sure. Let's follow these four leprous men. God carries into the mind. Look in the inner workings of the mind is where the change is going to come. God is going to take the weakest, the scornful, the despised, the rejected, some backsliders who have fully recovered. God can even use them in our economic squeeze. They're outside the city, but they'll come in the city with good news. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So don't despise a backslider too much. No, sir. He might have a little covetousness in one season, but a little leprosy will wake him up. A little chastisement from God will wake him up. You see the man of God, God using that gift to bring deliverance, and you trying to get the financial blessing that such a gift could bring. Your heart in the wrong thing. Just keep throw water in his hand as he throw water in Elisha's hand. Big plan will go smooth. Amen. See, now watch. So he said, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. Verse 4. And we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. They have to come to a conclusion. They have to make a decision. They wasn't just going to waste away. Don't waste away this morning. Make your decision. Now therefore, come and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they shall save us alive, we shall live. And they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight. Catch, I want you to follow this. In verse 1, he said, tomorrow by this time. In verse 5, we are getting another period of time during the course of the day. We're coming to the evening time here when the sun is setting. Twilight.
So they rose up in the twilight. You see, God had to bring to pass that prophecy by that time next day. So when God looked around, he had to have people there he can move. So he's going to bring thoughts to them. He's going to get them moving. He's going to have a catalyst to sort of cause some eruptions and change some things to get his machinery working to bring to pass the prophecy that went forth from the mouth of his prophet. So that's why we've seen changes from the prophecy going forth to the lepers. But the lepers is the catalyst. And when we find them, it's in the twilight we are finding them coming to this decision. Evening time comes, supper time comes, and they're hungry. Nothing to eat. You know, feel for your meal at supper time. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the edge of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Deliverance had come. But that thing was broken and no man knew a thing. They tricked, but starved them. The power that had its mind fixed to reduce them to poverty. Four lepers going to stumble upon this truth now. Look at the news that come in here. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses. Wars and rumors of wars. You shall hear them things. However they hear it. What are you hearing by hearing? He said, what do you hear here? Hearing a chariot? That's horses. That army's coming. Even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo! The king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of Egypt to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. A spirit of fear come upon these people, but they get so insecure. No, I want you to catch the story, eh? Don't take your mind off of God. God, he said, thus said the Lord. He said, hear you the word of the Lord. That came by inspiration. No man can utter that to be anointed on utter that. And as the Holy Spirit gave utterance to speak and he spoke it, the Spirit went and deal with the Syrians. Now he gonna deal with them the first day they come to the siege. But God is at chastisement. He ruling the affairs of everything. All of you check the word of my prophet. All the one is Jezebel's system. This is what you all want. I still have the anointed word in the land. My spirit, I take my messenger, but I take my spirit. My spirit's still in the land among the elect there. And you all still happening. I'm going to bring some chastisement upon you all. See? Then inside of that now, he rises and speaks. In 24 hours, watch the economy change. Man said, no, but the shipping contract done gone through. We want a place here for that. We have a dead body epidemic in China here to get rid of all these bloating bodies, this contamination. But the water system, we can't get water inside of here because the sewer is stinking inside of here. We can't even leave the city. Here in a mess, we under a siege. The nation economy is broken. It can then flat to a standstill. Are you talking about something going to happen, a turnaround, a boom in the, from economic depression to economic boom? You mean that God can perform miracles in economic boom? God can bring economic boom? If he brings it 2 days, he can bring it. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Amen. God do it in the wilderness. Amen. He feed them today, water come out of the rock, water, 2.5 minutes blind cattle, and then he let them go for days, and they're starving, their mouth blistering, and they're thirsty, and they're seeing mirage. And God bring the water the day before, but he holds it up still. Because it's not so much on giving them thing for their belly, it's helping them to discover their self and their condition and see what kind of person they are and how they react under circumstances and see the thing they need to die out to. But people Satan has their mind in such a mess. From the time they can't get it, and they can't get it, and they're accustomed to having their way, doing what they want, when they want, eating how much they want, doing what, and God has cut off certain privileges, they start to react like beasts, and start to see somebody is a threat to them, and start to react and get aggressive and different things. And God is showing you, look, you just can't have your own right, but look what come out here. 2 days you ain't get what you want, and look how you behave. See? Where your contentment? Where the extent of your long suffering? Does man live by bread alone? Assurance. What book gives the animal leprosy? Covetousness. Greed. Watch the same spirit. And watch the conviction. And watch the deliverance. Verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into the tent and they did eat and drink. Yeah, these lepers went in a big, nice Syrian tent. But of it, mosquito net, nice fluffy bed pillow, nice clean water, big cooked ham, lamb and jam. But a wine to toast, I can see them toasting. Cheers! Brother, watch. God brought them into a new economy where they had a thing. They had a thing, they didn't buy up a thing. If they had to use all the substance they had, they couldn't treat their own selves that good. Even the leper and all. But seeing them and dying them, a man with half a lamb leg and throw it away. He tried to go to their necks. But I tell you, they're having a time of their life. Man, they pass a race and cake. A man said, but take it, you're suffering indigestion. You did a different thing. He said, man, the feast, a gastronomical jubilee. Give a man a chance, man. I'm making up all the lost time. I ain't get a good meal by the grace of God. All of me who didn't premature in the city and all that, you know. All who feel like better than a leper. Walking on in 3-piece suit like a leper. By Woodford Square. By Shagwana's Market. See? Looking at them, spawning them. You ain't touching me more from here, you're a leper. Bruh! Society, they do things to people. They know sometimes God has changed the bank, changed the table. Sometimes God has put you down at the hand of a leper. And the news that's going to save your life could come out of a vagrant mouth. Amen. When people get heavy and high-minded and get lifted up. When they get a false value and feel they're better than somebody because maybe they have a privilege that somebody don't have, not realizing there's a God in heaven who makes every man, who makes every man boundary, who gives every man what he have. Who make every man a steward and every man will be faithful and give account and be responsible for his stewardship because life is a stewardship. Nobody was hastening with the greatest message ever.
Love your father.
And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into want and they eat and drink. They carried from their silver and gold and raiment. We ain't hearing about gold. They leave asses and horses and tent and camel and food and raiment and everything. And now they can gold and silver. What do them lepers say? Wow. He is Jehovah Jireh. But the minute selfish, you know. Every man looking at when this one thing is not eating, he said, wait, where is the bag there? You're hotting up the milk? You hear no song. You see a man hoarding up silver. He find a box of silver, find a box of gold, and they're going away to hide it. Every man now, God provide all this. Without they do a thing, now they cannot take and hoard it. Watch. Watch. And they went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried from there also, and went and hid it. I think the Spirit saying something. Who has been giving you what you have? We're going to hide for now. You're working for it? That's what it says. The thin line is what your thoughts about it. It will save you. That's your salvation. I told you your Savior is a person. Amen. Not a thing. Not a thing that can be a Savior. Amen. And your Savior alive. And he does talk. And he does hear. And he does see. He have eyes and ears and mouth. He can talk to you. Amen. You can call upon him. He can hear your cry. But why trying to call him and you're trying to hide thing, stop thing, so you'll go for a thing to help you? It's showing the condition of your heart. It's showing where your real security is. You're getting a chance to see yourself, how you just think. You're going to see how weak the thing inside of you is if it's behaving that way. It's supposed to be controlling the situation, not the situation controlling you. The situation should always be on the back foot and you should always be on the front foot. Watch how the Spirit brings conviction. Man don't make two trips, you know. I could imagine. Let's walk into it a little bit. Let me follow us when they carry it. Your followers when they carry it? Where did they carry it? Man going. He was in three partners. He go over here and he hide you. You know what happened? He should have put a marking on you. All you know, mix up my thing, eh? With all the things. Because he doesn't see to get more. You see the condition? So when now God is working the miracle to bring man further back in a lower state, God doing something to glorify himself and say, I am your provider. Look at the condition you are in, and I can turn it around in one day for you. Look at the faith in my people. They could speak a word that it seems impossible to change the economy in a day. And yet, if I inspire that world, I could change the economy in a day. I don't have to listen to what the New York Stock Exchange say, or the Japan Stock Exchange, or the London Stock Exchange. I don't have to listen to what Milan Lynch say, Marilyn Lynch. Because all the stock on a thousand hills is mine. Between the going of the prophet and the destruction of that Jezebel system, you have that kind of faith? I'm showing you where the bride faith was. I'm showing the quality of the bride faith. That was the faith found in the bride. When the Son of Man come, shall he find it? If Elijah has come and restored the faith, shall he find it in a people? If Elijah revealed the God who could shut the heaven, who could do these things, who could raise the dead, that Elijah did, and Elisha followed Elijah's message. We see the bright faith. We see the faith of the people under the message. We see the faith of the people in the system who rejected the prophet message. We see the mercy of God to some of the backsliders. And it showed the backsliding condition was still there. Because it's still for me and myself and hoarding and selfishness and greed and covetousness. Then said they one to another, we do not well. We do not well.
conviction. I'll tell you what I remember. We lepers. You know why we lepers? Because the prophet, having faith, could have taken name and money. But he was so thinking about God's name among them Syrians that they will not have God in Israel. Because the little girl's testimony was, "Would to God, you leave all these bunch of Syrian doctors and dermatologists and skin specialists and different things, and you come and see the man in Samaria. You come down there, you're fine where God is." He not pulling a punch, you gotta go to the Jordan and dip in the mud, you gotta do it. Because he not compromising because of your position. But you see, Gehazi and them was doing that. Gehazi and them was like, "Mount Elijah, we have things to do, we have the gospel to go in the region. We could do it some extra change, we could do this." But he knows God does provide and supply his things a certain way. And this situation is not a situation for making profits. This one is a testimony for the glory of God. So these same men who get their leper, when it comes to everything, they're like, "Hallelujah, glory to God, in Jesus' name, his child." Elijah said, "Where did it come from?" "Oh, that's kind of similar to some of the Lord's work in my territory down there." He said, "Didn't my spirit go with you? You are wrong me. You see what has happened in the king's bedchamber? How do you guys know that? You see what happened with the pot? When I had that in the pot, how did that solve? You see what happened to the shun of my boy? What's the matter with you? You think you do these things and wrong me? I got to tell a brother the other night." I said, this intelligence, what does go in the most complicated mind, which is God mind, and bring out God thoughts and lay out plain so? I said, "You telling me I understand your little peeny weeny problem? And you have sit down for so much of years and see the Holy Spirit go in God mind, bring God mind out and lay it out before you. And you tell me I understand your little problem?" See? People in bed is blind, they won't tell sometimes, eh? Sit down under this. How much time did I read that? See? You can read it. Because we all went to school. But read it how? See? When you look what you see in it. And not just a type, you know. We look inside and see our present behavior in present conditions. We've seen the bright faith. What a way to start a new year, I tell you. Make you feel new, eh? Old things are passing away. See, so the guest I get coming to, "We do it well. These things are dear good tidings." Do you remember we get leprosy? We get leprosy trying to take silver and gold that is not ours and hide it. It's how we get leprosy. And look at the same thing. Now we find ourselves doing the same thing still. And next situation come up, the same kind of life jump out again. So we see the condition now. See? They say that we ain't doing well. This day is a day of good times. Look at people suffering, bleeding with children. Because they have no money. And look at me arguing, "Don't touch my thing, eh? I find this first. And if I catch one over here, it's blood. You'll be like them Syrian and them." All of these lepers are 2 hours ago going on the beach, you know. And we don't know we're going to die. Now every man making more than one trip. Man gotta say, "Here, it's still happening. I see my yacht there, huh? I see my yacht. I see my new car, my house there. I see walk-in closet boy. I said, I'm the world trip. He said, I have a few more trips to make. He said, after I done full up, if it's anything and we give our strength left and we have nothing else to eat, we may might go over and tell them it has something. And we have to let them know how much is here. You clear up half of them and bring them afterwards. That's the mindset they get in. That is the mindset they get in. And they suddenly realize, who do this? We have something to do with this. What does make a whole army that starve out a nation take off without the chariot, without the horse, without the tent, without the food, without the clothes, without the silver? And while they're running going, they get shedding load. That if you want to follow them, you only have to follow all the trail or all where they leave and go right and get them afterwards. Because they're so scared. And we can say, in the city of the person, oh God, epidemic coming, let me take off. No, when you come there, they're already gone. So we have nothing to do with this. They said, this is God's work. We can't see God doing something and think about what God doing on a selfish, personal way for me alone. If God doing something, it must benefit God's people. Because God doing it, mistreated, must try to think of, get us into the mind of God, into the thoughts of God, and see, God, why you want this done, how you want this done, which way would it please in you. Let us consult the Lord, rather than let our own appetite and desires and covetousness swallow us up and just make us lose all sense of reasoning and go like idiots, like crazy men, after something. We can do it in a more noble way. We have a chance to do something for our country. We have a chance to do something for our people. We have a chance now to show the light to those who are no light. We have a chance to bring the reality of the living God to people and let them see what the real thing is. We don't have to get a spirit of a hit back at society because we're outside the city and we're lepers and man, they won't let me go in the city. So what we have to share everything with them for? God, I've done this. This is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. Oh God, help us. Which greater tidings have come forth in this day? When we heard a voice says, it is the rising of the sun. Christ is the mystery of God being revealed. A greater than Solomon is here. He said, which greater tidings in that? That seven thunders have uttered the voices. With greater tidings than that, we get a message, but I could heal every sick, raise the dead, change these bodies, get the church back into rapture condition. Amen. A word that can make a man and a woman, can make every broken home, every broken heart. He said, we have good tidings, we hold our peace. We have to be able to share and make miserable, sorrowful lives. But full of tension and nervous strain and pressure, and who have been devastated in economic squeeze, and who can't help themselves, and it's broken, and who lose children and family through this great famine because of the siege, and lose all connection with family and everything else. We have something that can bring that tidings to them, and we hold our peace, and we think of it for ourselves. Is it? We do not God. We do not God. Even though we might be like a bunch of lepers here. All of us have a little piece of leprosy in us. Look at the kind of tidings we come into. Look at the kind of tidings we come into. Tidings that the high priest should be coming to the Holy of Holies with. Amen. We lepers have come into these tidings. That the unknown language has returned, the cycle has returned, and the unknown language has been revealed, and the bride but has caught the mystery of her position in the world, and she cannot unfold what happened from 1966 to the year 2000. She can reveal that thing. Look at the tidings that we come into. So So they came and called unto the port of the city. And they told him, saying, we come to the camp of the Syrians. And behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tired and asses tired, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night, from the twilight to the night. The men of them in verse 9 are saying, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. You catch that? You catch that there? The prophecy had to be tomorrow by this time. So why do they want to delay? Conviction come upon them and say, you have to move, and you have to move now. This was first night ago. He said, you shall wait until the morning light for this. They don't know why, but they have to move because of prophecy hanging there. And thus said the Lord, that they by this time tomorrow, because God was the one who was engineering the whole thing. It was God watching over the anointed word that went forth from the mouth of his prophet. It shall not return unto him void, regardless of what you see. It shall not return, regardless of circumstances. It will come to pass in its season. The vision is for a point of time, and it will not tarry. It will be fulfilled in its time. I like that. Oh, my. Might be a good preacher, but a good lay reader. Blessed is he that read anyhow. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what these Syrians have done to us. Oh, God, I tell you. Man, self! You're in sackcloth and ashes. You're full of hate and revenge. You get the best news ever. The people show respect to your office. They come straight to you with the news. And you come up like I know it all. He says, here. He says, I will show you now what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. He playing it deep. He analyzing the battle strategy of the Syrians. All of a sudden he become a war counselor. All of a sudden he know what he planned the enemy up to. The start from out, he didn't know that before. Now all of a sudden he become a big military advisor. He said, they're going to camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. He said, I think they hide the fear, you know. He's saying, they say, they go out in the bush to hide, so we're going to come out, walk around, to investigate, and then they're going to launch an ambush, and they'll catch all of us alive. He said, in other words, if they think I going out there, man, the food and deliverance. Come out of your shell and have deliverance. Come out of your condition and have deliverance. But sometimes you're watching the messengers with the tidings. You remember in the leprosy? She wants to tell me about God. He wants to tell me how to live my life. See? And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Could you imagine that? 5 of the horses remain. There's eating horse left and right too. Selling the ass head out there, eating the horse head. In the back. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed and left ascendancy. They took there for 2 chariot horses. He said, no, you're taking 5 of them horse. This famine go through, partner, we could be needing this horse. Because this horse could feed so much of families inside of here. Is all I let him go. So they take 2 chariot horse And the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. They sent the spies out, you know. And they went after them unto the Jordan. And look, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So as a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned. You hear the description? To bring you back to the same man who also, because of his irreverence and disrespect, his unbelief, was tied into the prophecy. You will see it, but you will not eat of it. What's the name of the man on whose hand the king leaned? To have the charge of the gate, praise the Lord, eh? And the people trod upon him in the gate and he died. You catch that? His honorable position is the king leaned on him. His shame was the people trod on him. The one who was so high next to the king that he was leaning on him was now under the feet of the people, trodden upon him. Why? His arrogance. His disrespect. His sarcastic remarks about the prophecy of God. See? And the people trod upon the gate and he died, as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it came to pass as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel shall tomorrow about this time, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate, referring to the prophecy. See? It came to pass as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures, that's in verse 1 and 2 and 8, for a shekel and 1 measure of fine flour. Look how God changed from the economy, watch. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? He questioned the power of God. And he said, remember Sarah? Shall I have pleasure with my Lord? Ha ha. What's that man? That crazy man talking this nonsense to my husband. He says, why did Sarah laugh? You could have killed her right there. But because of Abraham, she was part of you, Natasha. He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? All scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine. These things were given for examples. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt eat of it. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in their gate, and he died. He was humiliated and brought to shame, and become like the dust in the ground, because it was no more the king leaning upon him in that big honorable position. But now it was the people trodden upon him. The masses trodden upon him. Let's give you a quote and close. Out of Jezebel religion. Prophet talking about Elijah. Coming down to that Jezebel system. Which is a type of this day. And just like the scripture read here, it was in the days after Elijah, living in the midst of this economic squeeze, to show you how all the elements of the present day and the workings of an evil system, we find it in our text here. The stock market, the merchants, the goods, the political powers, the spiritual church. Backsliders. The way God worked it to perform a paradox. To exalt them who are of low estate and to bring on the high and mighty. The condition, the hideous condition of the people in that hour of temptation who had refused to keep the word of his patience brought by that prophet. But those who had kept the word of that patience, God kept them in that hour. He said, I will keep you. He was the refuge. He was the strength. He was their present help. The stream of that clear water, clear crystal, that prophecy coming out of the mouth of that prophet from the throne of God made glad those who knew that that was the river of God flowing. And wherever it flowed, it brought healing and brought life. Because God was working to bring that prophecy to pass. And those lepers were just instruments. And even when they themselves became covetous, God convicted them and said, you have to move now. You can't wait until the morning light. Because God is watching over the word that was spoken. That's the God we're talking about, friends. Not another God. He said, there'll come a one-man system come forth with the power and the anointing of Elijah to fulfill the prophecy. Hallelujah. It will shake it. And remember, he prophesied to them and prophesied. He told them all the things and God worked with him. But his final message was attacked on the White House. He said, look at him walking right down from Samaria into the presence of the White House. Elijah's last message, he was coming to the White House and saying, thus saith the Lord, fearing nothing. The churches have turned him down. The people have turned him down. So now he's given his final attack upon the White House. Then what happened after that? Listen, after that attack, his voice became quiet. Nobody heard him no more. God called him off the scene. And he said, Elijah, you have done made your message known to all Israel. They know it. Now camp here in the wilderness. Get away from them. Separate yourself. Because I'm going to do something. I'm going to show them what it is to turn my message down. What setting? War. Famine. Depression. Thus said the Holy Spirit. He said, watch what's coming. Watch what's going to follow. There was famine. There was a famine. There will be. He said there was famine. Then he said there will be famine. Oh, maybe not for bread, but for hearing the word of God and his truth. All the churches will socialize and go right on into it just the same, just like they've already been swallowed up with it. When God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for depression, brother. You think you've seen something? You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you are dying for a good spiritual revival? You wait till after a bit. You just wait. Wait long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible says that there will be a famine in the last days, said the prophet. Not for bread or water, but for hearing the true word. And look at us here in this church. We'd be eating this Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. We hardly keep with it. Can't stop. You can sit on a denomination 6 months a year. You hear more in one service here than you hear in a whole year over there. Think of it. Turn that radio and listen. 94.1 FM. From morning till next morning. You don't hear 1% of what you hear here. Famine. Famine. For the true word. Watch. Now he's showing what is going to follow the message when it's rejected. 2 Kings 4, 3 was war. 2 Kings 4 was famine, economic troubles. Famine the land, settled the great pot. 2 Kings 5 was famine and war, social disorder. 2 Kings 6, as you read here, economic troubles, political troubles, social troubles, famine and war. 2 Kings 8, famine and war. The whole period of the days after the prophet, before that Jezebel system was destroyed, was economic troubles, political troubles, depression, famine, hardships. Every time they get a little blessing, it was nothing constant and for long. The economy going to today. Next thing you know, it gone down. Some price gone, some shortage or something, some disaster somewhere. Something happened again. It kept fluctuating back and forth. The dollar weak, the dollar strong. The dollar weak, the dollar strong. They take out the thing on cars. They raise it back on the pool. They take it up over and they say, you can bring in this, but it can't be taxes over here. Constantly, back and forth, just juggling things. Because that's the way it is. That's the way it is. When God sent forth a message and tell the people, and they don't receive it, then he withdraws the servants in this place, famine, death, all those things. He says, then after the days of his prophecy, what happened? The church languished. the great terror of Jezebel, she took them all in herself, gobbled them all up, took them in herself, and built groves and everything else. What is going to happen after this Elijah message? What was that Jezebel system was going to do? Take in everything. Economics, politics, religion. She's going to take them in and gobble them up and come out of the power that controls the world. The fourth beast will devour the world, will break up the whole earth. It will destroy wonderfully. By his economic policy, he'll cause craft to prosper. He'll fight industrial wars, economic wars, all kind of hot wars, cold wars, any kind of wars you want. He'll fight them wars, media wars, air wars, everything. He's going to fight them wars. Technological warfare, everything. Who's able to make war with the peace? But there's one who can make war, and who come to church and make war, and one who encamp round about them that fear him. While he's there, though a whole should encamp round about them, they will not fear. They will not be afraid, because he is the strength of their life. He is their refuge and their strength, a present help in time of trouble. He is their mighty tower. They don't have to resort to cannibalism. They don't have to have them visions of famine and big belly. No. They don't have to have that. They don't have to have fear left alone and God didn't show up. No, not at all. It was an organized war designed to destabilize the nation, break the economy, disrupt the systems, take control of our temptation. They'll come upon the whole world, but I'll keep you in the hour of temptation. Testimony. He preached after the world again falling apart. Then he came the next night and gave testimony. What was the world again falling apart? That Shreveport series? The same morning when he spoke, he came out of existence, he went to Shreveport and preached the world is again falling apart, but the word, the Messiah, is anointed. Then he came next night and gave testimony, showing us while they're falling apart, we have another economy raised. I'll give you testimony of how we come into that little room. Because there's a power in that room. Speak and don't doubt. I'll meet you in there. And this will be the thing that could tie the devil and that it will start the rapture in faith to be going away. I'll prepare you. I'll build my masterpiece. I'll bring it in speaking conditions. I'll strike them. She'll have to serve the Lord. I'll give her a prophetic vision. I'll finish the work by and through her. She'll be the final voice. I'll ride this tale once more. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? That's nothing but the truth. And he comes the next night and he's referring to the message of all the people falling apart. He said, no, I'm saying this, it's going to be a personal testimony to the glory of God. That it might be for you to understand in the coming nights of what I want to say. He went on to preach influence. Absolute. Calling Jesus on the scene. Just once more, Lord. Yes, because I tell you, we put the whole series right in the church. I said, that Shreveport series, 1963. And that Chicago series, 1963. He was walking with it. He was on it. He was inside it. And under prophetic utterance, he was speaking it out. The whole trail of what is going to be. And he starts the world again falling apart, and he ends with just once more, Lord. A restored church, an anointed church, in the days after the eyes are gone, when the new crop has come forth, he's going to come forth. He's opening things. A people can call Jesus on the scene in time of crisis. He told you to be silent for a while. And they're having testimony services of the Son of Man, how he break the bread and do different things in this day. He'll get them so tied to that tie post. No matter what they go through, but that compass will point to that North Star. He's laid out. How could we come to this hour and the Holy Ghost not bring it back to our remembrance? You think I want to try and hatch up things? You think I want to go and I just want, Father, bring back to my remembrance what you said through your prophet who had a prophetic vision, who spoke from eternity back to eternity. Those things that we'll be needing at those junctions. The world wants me. I'll come to you. I'll manifest myself to you. I trust you can understand. I trust you have enough faith. I trust you have some bed and ground this morning, some of you, for this to fall into. He said, you'll understand. Like I was trying to say last night, the world coming to a place, it's falling apart politically, socially, economically. You say economics, more money? Yes. But where is it coming from? We are borrowed in taxes. That'll be paid 40 years from today. She's broke. She's bankrupt. Nation, not this nation, but all of them. And there's no way ever getting it back. See, this is my Bible right here. You know how I understand how I stand? He already said. You see what Elijah spoke, what happened? You see what Jehu had him say? The words of Elijah will not fall to the ground. He says, throw this man in that plot so it might be fulfilled that in the portion of Jezreel, the dog will eat her. And the dog come out in there of Micaiah and lick the blood while he was washing his hands to fulfill the word that was spoken by Elijah. The minutest detail. If you understood the words and the spirit of a spiritual man was deity speaking. Amen. The voice of God. Deity in these last days. Amen. Yes, but where is it coming from? We are borrowing taxes. He says, it's a trap set exactly to swing this nation into something. You mean they're engineers, they're trap setters? Taking in a whole nation? We just come to the scripture. They lay a siege on Samaria to break it economically, to reduce it to poverty. But what is the miracle? I'll change back the economy in a day. The people who come to break the economy, I can change it back in a day. All your might, all your power, all your energy, all the machinery to bring on and disrupt your system, I can put back in a day. If God be for you, who could be against you? And the very people who just come in, they couldn't even believe it. But those who could receive it, rejoice. And those who wasn't arguing with it, but who was in a state of desperation and was willing to step out and get into action, even though they couldn't get into much action, but they had the right attitude to try. And God used them to give the greatest tidings in that hour. And all of it is the unwritten part of the prophet's prophecy. Is that right? He didn't say about no leper bringing the news. He mentioned leper in the prophecy. But in the fulfilling of it, God moved him. And God moved him in time to fulfill it so it could be fulfilled exactly about this time tomorrow. That's the God we serve. That's the infinite God. God is not guessing. God is not big brooding. God is refined to the dust, to the minutest detail. That's why he said, make it specific. You ask for a bread, you wouldn't get a stone. You ask for a fish, name the thing, specify the thing. Your carrot, kingfish, cavalli, ask for what kind of fish? Guppy, garami, angel fish, aquarium fish or fish need? What kind? Huh? What kind you want? Because sometimes you ask for the wrong thing, you get aquarium fish, you get disappointed. He tried to tell you, you're actually specific enough. Be specific, have faith. Know who you're talking to, amen. There is a belief that I'm able to do this. I shall supply all your needs. That sounds like the word to me. That sounds like the word to me. And it's a trap set to swing this nation to something, and all of you are wise in that. Well, who has got the wealth of the world? Who holds it? Someone says Rome. Sure it does. Rome holds it. And whenever we do, when we get broke, instead of these big merchants to go back the whiskey and so forth, to have to get the money, what we'll have to do? Either change the currency or borrow the money. And when they do, it's the birthright sold right back exactly just as perfect and just what the scripture says about it. He is telling America, America, you're finished. You sell out, you're bankrupt. America said, no, we lend the world money. Who are you going to believe? I believe a prophet is best of the Lord. I'd like to get to a place sometime the Lord will when a tent comes in the scene. And I believe that soon now, I'm going worldwide. I get a worldwide meeting coming out. And I like to get a place where I can sit down for about 6 weeks and take those things and go through them. You see back and forth through the scripture, and it's astounding to see the hour that we are living in. It frightens me. It frightens me not because in my heart the joy bells are ringing, knowing that the coming of the Lord is so close at hand. But what frightens me is to know that so many is unprepared for the hour that we are facing. That's the bad part. Because they don't know the scripture and those things. Let's stand up. I want to read an article here of the Business Week, December the 20th. You understand a bit from what I kind of open up here to show you. And you see this message here? Since in the beginning of the year, I have this message to preach. I was 3-4, then the Lord missed back there and couldn't push him. Once I was telling about a message, I said, God, give me some on them. How do the lender become slow? The borrower on these things. The borrower becomes slow, the lender. And this one of them. There was one of them from back there. It's just that I was looking for the space and the place to speak them. To show you the things that's happening around. So you can have a little insight. And you will not think on a shallow level. And you will not make the media your Bible. But you will see the prophetic word. You will see the signs that identify the time that you are living in. You will see the thing that was prophesied to come in the days after Elijah. And then you will see and compare the present things with the scripture and see what time you are living in, and then see how God is dealing with you to know if you are an elect in this hour. When you see these things, they will make your faith rise. They'll give you the strength and the courage. They say, with Y2K looming, one would expect that the Federal Reserve guardian of the money supply might be feeling a bit nervous these days, through the 20th of December, just 2 weeks ago. In fact, U.S. financial market shows no signs of concern about a liquidity crunch. The reason? Unprecedented steps to make plenty of extra money available, from printing a mountain of new banknotes to giving banks and dealers access to more borrowing. I'm reading this here to pick up my next message I'm going to come with in the week. We started this year with God is our refuge and our strength, and being kept by the power of God in the hour of temptation. I'm showing how living in that hour of temptation, in that time of that economic depression, because economic depression, famine and war was to follow the rejection of Elijah's message. And the whole of the ministry of Elijah from 2 Kings 2 all the way to 2 Kings 13 when he goes, is famine, depression and war. That's why I'm placing those things to give you understanding. And if you have any scriptural sense and any bit of light in you, you will know that's not trying to force a thing on you. That's the grace of God opening something to give you insight into the word, to help you understand the hour, to know by revelation what is happening. Most major central banks elsewhere are taking similar steps. All these countries in the world. Hear what the banks did. Earlier at the beginning of this year, I preached some things. And that function of foolish man turns and falsifying the balances by deceit. Showing you how what happens with the stock exchange, the history of money, how every time there's a revolution, there's a faith civilization that we used to live in had no money. Adam didn't need money in that world. Money was a thing that didn't exist. When it came from a faith civilization to an industrial science civilization, when Cain changed the world, they had to bring in a money system. Then it changed from industry, from agriculture to industry, to information, and then they had to have a money. Every time the world goes through one revolution, they have a financial revolution as well. Today, the world has become interconnected, has become global. So now, to buy something in Europe that is selling right away, and you could buy it on that internet, and you could go into cyber world in our cyber market, and you could buy it on that credit card, and that thing could be auctioned, and the next buyer from New Zealand, the next buyer from Iceland, the next buyer from America, the next buyer from London, all of you all in that mall in cyberspace, and they're selling cars, and you're all bidding for a car, and the man is closing the sale, and you all there, and the man says, who will go 5,000? You type in 5,000 more. Man type in 7,000 more. And so the man comes again, and it's all like email. It's all happening. Then the final man says, 10,000. Nobody goes. Deal closed. Credit card number, bank account, transaction, funds, transact. Deal closed. See? Then when you have, when the world comes into this information age, that kind of world, you have to have money for that kind of world. You can't go here and check your money in your bag and try a telephone, tell the man, well, I have no card, I can't buy it, I don't have no international account. You can't do it. If you have a credit card number, then that money goes electronic. Check. They check that account, that fund's there, cleared. Think so. You see, they have to be there. And through the card number, they have access to the account. Because all linked up. The financial system, they will have evolved like that. From one man going down to the market to decide from the boss on him come and palm in, and he get down to the market and he wait there for the shoppers to come, and this auntie come out with her basket in the morning. 2 hours after, this young couple come with the basket, and everybody come in, and they're buying the stock in the stock market. Well, the stock market evolved from that to a global level today. So you have to get a kind of money to do business in cyber world. Cyber money. Plastic money. You get what I'm saying? Now, each type of transaction have its strengths and weaknesses. And that's why when the system keeps evolving and changing, it's becoming more and more fragile. And then politicians taking bigger and bigger risks. So hear what they did. With this thing that was coming up, all them central banks started putting money. Because they said people started withdrawing money so that they keep money in circulation. Because most of the U.S., every people dollar in the world tied to the U.S. dollar. But the U.S. economy is considered a strong economy. So when that their money is tied to the U.S. dollar, then if the U.S. dollar goes through problems, then everybody will have problems. That's why you're doing business in the bank here, all them banks will carry U.S. dollars. And then sometimes, no matter where you're traveling to Europe, people want U.S. dollars. They just have limited money for a couple of days to buy normal one or two little items in a country, but U.S. money is the more accepted money worldwide. Now watch, listen to what they did, and then you'll see in the history of money, these are the things that bring the system down. Because money in circulation represents a system among assets. Remember what we use as money today is a piece of paper printed with a number on it. You got a 5, you got a 5. You got a 10, you got a 10. That is like a receipt. That means you're going to buy something, a garbage bin, and it's like $50. The amount of plastic you put into it, the size of it, the volume it going to hold, the kind of thing it takes to make it, and how the scarcity of the material to produce that thing. It's not a easily available material. So that goes for $50. Then you have to get 220 and a 10, 10, 5, or 50 ones. But the amount of receipt, the makeup, to get that item. Then that is equivalent to that. Now, money is not just confined to stock. Money is confined now, is broken into time. Man say, you're an important man. How much is your time worth, boy? Then a man's skill is measured. They say, this man is an A class. He's a B class. He's a C class. They say, this man has a degree. Just for his advice to see this man and to get an opinion, his time starts at $500 an hour. The man ain't open his mouth yet. That's just to get the appointment with the man. Because he's an expert on the thing. Then time is coming to a person drawing something. They say, that is a joke. I get 10 cents out. Man says, this is a Van Gogh boy. Look at the lines. Look at the color scheme. This is rare. This is not for the paper now, but what on the paper? The quality of it, they measure that by money too. A prostitute will give a man a pleasure service, they measure that by money. A Calypsonian go and sing in a tent, they measure that by money. A driver with a taxi, driver one point to the next, but they measure that by money. Based on gasoline, distance, the type of car it is, or whatever it is. They will get out the money. Everything can be measured today by money. Man will have a restaurant, the young lady come. He say, we go use to wash the dishes in the back. We want this one here to go to the tables and take the people orders. You want to put a nice old face out there. You want to put a fat old granny in the back to wash the dishes. Why? Because he didn't that attract more business. She have more words. She more appealing to the public. Why? Everything is measured by money. And when you have a whole system, it's life and it's force, dependent upon something that each person value and taste is different. Man, to me, you pay no $500 for that. Do you get me with that? That's worthless goods. They cultivate people in brand names. Tommy Hilfiger, see that little thing there? You pay for that. Polo, that little man on that horse with that stick, you pay for that. That could be the most worthless piece of cotton it on. But everybody's mind is cultured. When you have that, you have a quality garment. Well, that's what the merchants does. They have this system in such a way they can inflate the goods. And that's why all the logo system come and they make certain logos famous. Because a way to inflate ordinary goods to be expensive goods. So an ass head could be 80 pieces of silver. A man with a gay dog got before. No, it's a commodity. See? That's what the merchants does. That's what the merchants manipulate and exploit the system. So listen, as you read this, let musicians come play this off for me, my question. So according to the sources of the central bank, the Federal Reserve in the States, is less worried about computer glitches than the fear of computer glitches. They say they're less worried about computer glitches than the fear of computer glitches. It is easy to conjure up horror scenarios. Markets season up as investors dump stocks and bonds before year-end and dealers refuse to make markets. Or massive runs on banks as depositors withdraw cash. In the worst case, a drying up of short-term credit could bring the whole U.S. financial system to its knees. Now, most U.S. industries that make money for them is not in America. It is in third world countries where they pay for cheap labor. Because these people have skills. And so, because they have no industry and they're poor, the skill can be bought cheap. So you can go out there and have somebody like this making a Nike sneaker, sewing it for 50 cents a day. And then they ship it back to the States. They don't pay no taxes. They control governments by bringing in that investment and setting up them factories, shipping the goods there, using cheap labor to do it. Then they re-import the goods and they put in the big department stores and they sell it for 100 US. So they ask Michael Jordan, they say, you endorse it
$30 million a year for your endorsement. They say we went down in them place in Honduras, them place in Taiwan, in them sweatshops. Place long like from here to almost by Kentucky Montrose. Little 12-year-old boys and girls working 12, 15 hours a day, sometimes for $1 a day. Have to sew about 8 to 10 of them things. And then we come, when it come back in the States, they come an article advertising every sports magazine, putting every different showcase, advertising television, Air Nike. You see a man floating in the air, see all the lights and different things. But true slave labor, child slave labor, exploitation of nations and populations, the great big conglomerates in the end. Who run the economy of a country? I'm putting these seeds in you, you know why? In the days to come, you'll be a little more sensitive to pick it up. It'll be all around you, but you're dull in your senses. You can't pick it up. Your mind is too much on a shallow realm. So when you look at things, but you don't see the workings of things. But that eagle anointing is to give you insight, perception, to discern, to understand. That's why I said pray for revelation. Things will be around you that you need to get a hold of. That is what is bringing the realm of power and confidence. Just take away your uncertainty and your fears. You can walk with assurance because you can read the handwriting around you. The head of such disasters, the Fed has moved on three fronts. For people who want to hold cash over the year end, the Fed is ready with $200 billion in newly printed banknotes. Could anybody visualize how much money is $200 billion? If you spend $1 million a day and you live for maybe 1,000 years, you can't spend that money. Spend $1 million a day. You know what I'm talking about? They're pumping that. It has no backing for that, you know. That is just a political expediency for the situation. We are trying to override this. We will think about the repercussions afterwards. Let's make sure we don't get no bumps. We throw in $200 billion, print it, and put it into the system. Right now, we have $200 billion floating around somewhere in the system. They have no money backing for, which already the other money had no backing for. The U.S. debt is now no longer spoken of in billions. It's spoken of in trillions. Like the debt. You think you could borrow money from a man could be lending you a set of money. And you have the biggest debt. You think you feel safe borrowing money from him? I mean, you're the borrower be trembling. I read the prophets and I read this now. That's a 40% increase in currency in circulation. Since about 2/3 of the U.S. currency is held outside the country, the Fed has to anticipate a lot of demand from abroad. Because they're dealing outside. That's why the rest of the world tied to the money. For banks, the Fed has opened a special widespread credit window to supply extra reserves. Howbeit at a high price. The banks are unlikely to tap it in a major way unless the cost of borrowing in the Fed funds market, where banks lend each other overnight, rises above 7%. The most novel moves involve Fed's financing of security dealers. The Fed routinely uses repurchase agreements or repos, that's a short word in the financial realm, to finance dealers, which include brokerage firms and banks. Dealers sell U.S. Treasury or agency securities to the Fed, agree to buy them back at a specified date, ranging from 1 to 60 days later. Although repos are sale buyback transactions, They work like loans, and the securities are considered collateral. These people pump all this money in the system. When you pump that money in the system, it means the money, the value. Come on, you got juice? A jug of juice? To throw it for 8 people. But you have a feeling that you can make a problem and might have 20 people show up at your door. Well, what you do? You just pour 2-3 more jug of water inside it. Everybody having a drink. But that juice was designed to keep you up, 1 glass of it for 8 hours a day. You drank a glass and you find half hour you're all slumped down. You know what happened? Your juice content disappeared and you get watered down and it devalue your juice. That's put it simple in Chai language for people, because we are the economists here. So then you have now people paying for goods that they put so much money into making it. And the amount of money floating around now, and they make it accessible to the public, you actually inflate the price of that thing. Or you devalue the thing rather. But because the whole financial system becomes messes up when they pour in $200 billion circulating the system, hoping that you would avoid a crash in your market. It'll take you for maybe 1 week and 2 weeks. And then your pressures are back upon you. And your problems. Now you see when the fear comes for them Syrians? Rumors. They hear things. They hear voices. And oh God, we're dead. And they start to take measures to secure themselves. And they start to run and they start to take off. You think they went back home stronger than they came? They left their horse, they left their chariot, they left their clothes, they left their vessels, they left their wealth, they left all these things. After what it caused them to stay out there for all that months fighting that war, and then couldn't end up taking advantage of the initiatives that the war was designed to give to them. That's the lesson in this. It was a supernatural working of God. God performed a miracle. But it's not the kind of miracle like water turning to wine. It's not the kind of miracle like a leprosy hanging clean. The men and them remained leprous for a while. But the prophecy come to pass. And the whole economy that devastated get a boom in one night. But it was the working of God to bring the overturn in the economy. To bring a recovery in the economy. It was the working of God. If we are walking in the presence of a God who even controls the economy in times of economic depression, who controls the will of armies and nations and powers with their intent to break other economies. If God's power is being unleashed through God's elect who follow God's prophet message, the word wasn't coming out of the king, out of the senator, out of the businessman, out of the ambassador. The word was coming out of the faithful ones who had followed the message of the prophet in that day. God had no other voice. The bride is the final voice. The prophet is the voice in the last days. Had no voice promised between him and the bride. She's his voice. You are part of that bride. If God have to speak and God have to do anything, God don't have a voice in Laodicea.
God to have a voice in those places. They become their own voice, the voice of the system. But you have become part of God's voice. Don't be discouraged. Don't despair. Don't try to save yourself. Watch in your own heart. See what kind of person you are. See what your objectives are. See what your ambitions are. See what is important to you in life. Examine yourself close. See how you think. You still have selfishness and greed and covetousness. You still have fear. You're still under life preservation. Have you really surrendered to God? Have you come to know Him? Is He real in your heart? Do you find His Spirit operating in you, bringing His Word back to you, what He spoke to a prophet? Do you find yourself anointed in that Word? Do you feel terrified when you see things around you? Do you feel God is a man who will take back His Word? Do you feel God will change His mind about His Word? Prophet said God does not change His mind about His Word. Did God speak in His letter to a prophet? Was that God's Word? That cannot fail, friends. If that failed, God failed. He spoke out of the Bible. And we are finding these places in the Bible. And we are seeing. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. With the Word of God. Mix the Word with faith that might profit you. Be certain of God in this hour. What looked like a bunch of angry clouds could be angel wings speaking together as you get close to it. It is the artist have it fixed like that. Remember, the sun is always shining. A dark cloud might block out the sunlight from you. That don't mean the sun don't exist no more. He might just hide himself and veil himself for a while. But his word is true. He can never leave that one. You might be young this morning. You might be, some of you, not more than 15, 16 years. Do you think I think this word is too much for you? I don't think so at all. That little girl in Naaman's house, she's a word to be God through the prophet in Samaria. I can't explain how he healed a pot. I can tell you that man standing there, he's linked up with God. I tell you, God is working through you. I tell you, Elijah was the prophet. I tell you that. I can tell you, Jezebel system and this novena and Sharpley and all kind of nonsense. All the denomination and man jumping on the place, all the Pentecostal foolishness. That's nonsense. I can tell you the true word. You know enough. And under the influence of the Spirit that comes from this world, you know how to walk. It even tells you how you should dress, how you should carry yourself. And don't never resist that Spirit. Yield to that Spirit. It's going to lead you right always. You don't want to unchristianize you. God love you. You're God's children. You're God's sons and daughters. You're young boys. Sure. You get tempted. All of us get tempted. You think I'm an angel standing here? Elijah's a man of like passions. I thank God for enough grace to know that ain't me. But there's a law of sin here. You used to bring me to captivity a lot of times. But then I know now that the law of spirit of life in Christ has made me free from this thing. You think I judge you by that? Don't judge you by that. Think I call you a sinner because you get tempted? I'll sure have no revelation. I'll be a self-righteous idiot standing here. A holier than thou, trying to think I'm better than you. Because temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted in all points. And yet without sin. You could be tempted and not sin. Once you're born in this body, sin dwelleth in you. Even after you get the new birth, sin dwelleth in you, in this flesh. But there's a law of faith in your soul. What you need, some of you, where you lose the battle, and then Satan messes up your mind, you think you don't have what God gave you. He tried to tell you you didn't have nothing. Let me tell you, God has given many of you young children a measure of Himself. You have it inside of you. And some of you, it all around you. He tries you. He wants you to open your heart to receive Him. I know I preach these things, sometimes I go too deep for you.
All the time I'm reading here at the bank. I know you can't get it, but you know I live at the state. I send these tapes around the world to different brothers, ministers, that they could put these things together too. That's why I know it, to leave it out would be just some little bit. But when I tie that in some place, I don't have to say much. They could pick it up. Because they see where I'm taking it. And because you can't understand some of those things, the devil didn't tell you, like, you can't get the message. All of this, you don't have to know all of this. You just have to know sufficient that God give you a shepherd to feed you the word of God. That's why he tell me, feed his sheep and feed his lambs. He have lambs and sheep that need to be fed. To watch over you. And if I get you to believe me, nothing could stand before me. That's why I try to be sincere. I don't try to play around in the pulpit. That's why I said I have to skin some of you. But you know, I'm not against you as a person. Because I'm not thinking of an individual. I'm thinking about a church that he desires to come in and come amongst. And that's why some of you who grow up, you get to realize when you look around the nation and look around the world, in few places like this, because it takes somebody to stand your the word and hold the thing straight. Who will not compromise and play around with people. These last few days I've been nervous, I'm strained. Pressure. You know why? Because I see so much yet for people to catch and walk in. Who should know what it is to stand in this hour? How could we look in the word and live in this word in this reality? And then come out of it 2 minutes afterwards, and like a little thought and a little thing we talked about the other day, but is it really real? And I'm ready to die for this any moment. And if I speak with a conviction, is these things quicken to me that make me speak with a conviction? I'm saying this sincere, take it into your heart. David says, that word have I hid in my heart. I will not sin against you. It's a secret. Like a beautiful rose. Might be some little old dirt pile. You might be a little dirt pile. I might be a little dirt pile. But if this seed could fall in our hearts and be watered, a beautiful rose, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley will come forth. The beauty of Jesus will come out of your life. It wouldn't be you. It will be the seed that you allow to grow in you. That you hold within your heart. Take it in. Ask God. And you're going to find that that word is like a medicine as well. Somehow it kills out the infection. And the disease. Those things in you that want to make you spiritually sick. And get you weak. And you get invaded and overpowered by the worldly disease. You find you're going to get some resistance. You're going to get something to throw it off. These little hybrid flowers. Bachak must eat the dung. You want to spray them. Long ago when we were little children, we go out there and pick them all in the bush. In no garden. They're growing out there. Because they're original. Be like one of those. Let your life light up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a little church thing. It's a rugged life. We're going home soon. We are going home soon. One of these days, we look back and we laugh at these things. We'll be glad we made it. And if some of you linger, as I said, we had the betrayal last week. So nice, so sweet. Let God lead you into your relationships the right way. I know sometimes young boys, young girls get attracted to each other. That's normal. Remember, that's normal and that's healthy. That's not abnormal. Sometimes you get people around you forget or lack the understanding. Right away they watch you. If you're a sinner or something, I want to be with you a certain way. You're not doing nothing wrong. They do the same thing they used to do. Some of them try to hide this, do that. Some of them still do it. The thing is, just like anything else, you reach a certain stage, certain experiences begin to come into your life. God has a provided way for everything. And the lesson that you learn is, God ways right and will always work out, and God will always be identified with it. And any other way other than God ways perverted, and you can never get God to come into it. He might come in to deliver you, but he wouldn't bless the thing. He'll give you the strength and the help to separate from it, if you're willing to separate from it, to overcome it. But his one desire will be to get you the right thing, the right way. Because you will even have the right thing and do it the wrong way. Remember that. Isn't he wonderful? You love him. You appreciate him. Let our hands say, oh Lord, how we love you, Father. How we praise you. How we magnify your name. You are our everything. You are our all in all today. Standing here in the midst of the family of God. Standing here in the midst of the flock, you have made me an overseer, Father. Trying to keep them in remembrance to what you have spoken by a prophet. Trying, oh God, to walk in these bloody footprints sanely and intelligently. And right in the word to leave the right kind of example and the right kind of influence, dear God. That they can follow without misunderstanding and confusion of mind. That we together, oh God, might walk in your divine way. Under your divine influence and your divine leadership. May you bless my brothers. May you bless my sisters. May you bless our children, oh God. May you bless the household of faith today. May this great Holy Spirit that we have come to love and depend on and look to and rely upon, may you ever be our guide and our leader, oh God. We acknowledge without you we can do nothing, oh God. Without you we'll surely fail. Without you we'll be drifting, oh God, like a ship without a sail. And today, Father, standing in your presence, oh God, thankful for your word, thankful for your inspiration, thankful for the enlightenment and the realization and the understanding and the edification that have been brought to us, that we might be better examples, we might walk with a greater faith, we might walk with a clearer understanding, we might have a deeper insight, we might have a clearer perception. Almighty God, may you inspire it to the hearts of your children, that they get a hold of it, that they become workers, that they can take it and break it down and edify one another out of the faith, bringing forth virtue to strengthen those around them, having knowledge to know the hour, to know the time, to know the scriptures, to know the plan for the age, to know the approach, having temperance to bear with the weaker ones, and patience, oh God, not to be pressured into manufacturing and running ahead of the Spirit. But as David said, wait, I say, wait on the Lord, and he shall lead you, he shall strengthen thy heart, oh God. And remember that all times in godliness, a mystery, we don't want to form a godliness and deny the power. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That, oh God, we can learn of you. That you are meek and lowly in heart, you says. Oh God, to be an example in all humility and reverence. And brotherly kindness. To put ourselves in our brother place. In our sister place. To feel for them. To be identified with them, oh God. To get under the burden. To bear it with them, Lord. To enter into the sufferings. To let them know we are standing in the gap for them, oh God. And love that cover multitude of sins. That we wouldn't be hypocrites. We wouldn't be pretensive. We wouldn't be self-righteous. We wouldn't be dogmatic, oh God. But Father, Lord Jesus, with divine love. Oh God, that suffered long is kind, is not puffed up, is easily provoked, endureth all things and beareth all things, oh God. Father, may you grant it, Lord, that we can be that kind of church in this hour, so unified, Lord, that we can find that fellowship, we can find them realms of the Spirit, where we can get in the honey, we can get deeper and deeper, and become so unified, Lord, with godly respect one for the other, in rank and file, seeing the chain of command, knowing how to move, no campground stars, no people trying to break the rank, and running, Lord, under their own influence, in the
imagination of their own heart, trusting the confidence of their own flesh, oh God. But Lord, moving by the Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, knowing every time you move, dear God, we walk in the word, we walk in the rhythm, we walk in the steps that you have left behind, Father. And oh God, may your Holy Spirit have the preeminence and the oversight and the leading, that oh God, we could be what you said in this hour, and you can do the things among us that you promised, Father. We commit all things into your mighty, mighty, mighty hands, Lord. And we thank you today. Bless each and every one, Father, and get honor and glory. Oh, God, we'll not fail to praise you and thank you. We'll not fail to honor you and magnify you. Hallelujah! Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to sing a song. I want to worship a bit. Is that all right? We just sing a song for Jesus this afternoon here. Our brothers and sisters, we need a...